be seated. Oh, I forgot to tell you, you didn't get to see my socks this morning. I have on my Trump socks. Is that okay? Somebody said I got to get a tie, so I'll get a tie for next week, I promise. And I got a note from him. He texted me and said, "You're on one of our donor lists." And I made the donor list. I'm going to send you a big picture with my signature. I'm going to invite you to a dinner in New York. I thought, okay, I can't make the dinner. Sorry about that. We're in the book of Romans, and we're in the first chapter, the second part of it. We're taking a travel through Rome. And on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, we're going through the Corinthians. And two completely opposite churches, and we discussed that way back when. But Paul spells out from the very beginning, Rome was a very prominent city, and they were having the same kind of problems that we're having today. And he addresses that pretty strongly here in this first chapter, the last part of it. You hear people say, well, things about I even hate to use the word gay. I like other words better, but since I'm in church behind a pulpit, maybe I better not. After I get to preaching, sometimes I forget. My old preaching brain doesn't coincide with my proper etiquette, pastoral etiquette, whatever it is. But there's no name so bad that you could put over people who are practicing sexual deviancy. And that's what about. So I've titled this sermon, Sin is the Problem, and Jesus is the Only Cure. We can't get rid of this sin any other way. When Trump said he was going to drain the swamp, I don't think he realized how bad the swamp was. The animals won't do the things that human beings are doing. They got more sense. Paul talks about natural things that just nature treats you some things. And of course, we don't see enough nature these days to teach kids about it. So we want to look at that this morning and find out about how we can eradicate and clean up our society. By way of introduction, I said we don't leap into sin, we creep into sin. In other words, we get there a little bit at a time. Just step here, step there, change this a little bit, change that a little bit. We start out with small things, and each step is into a larger and a more destructive sin. And we're there. Our problems are not lack of education, lack of money. As a matter of fact, the educational institutions have taken it upon themselves to teach that homosexual lifestyle is the way to go. And you got to have sympathy with those people. And they're just different flowers blooming at a different time. They're idiots. That's what they are, blooming idiots. They're not flowers at all. And they teach our kids that. Think about it. The prodigal son took one step at a time, but he finally wound up in the hog pen. Doesn't take long to get there. Just keep walking towards sin. Take a little bit here and a little bit there. David took one look too long at a naked woman. Then more desire, adultery, lies, and murder took over his life. Eve, in the garden, took one look at the forbidden fruit. Then desire and disobedience set in. America did not get in the mess we're now in overnight. I've seen it coming in my lifetime. In Kentucky, we had a teacher they had hired who had retired three times. And she taught us how bad, how stupid we were. She said, Kentucky, by that year, there was only 48 states. I'm ancient, you understand. And she said, Kentucky is 47th in roads. 47th, she was from South Carolina, 47th in education, and first in politics. And she said, two things we don't talk about this, and this was a civics class, two things we don't talk about in this class is religion and politics. I said, when there's not much left to teach, is there? She said, John Hodge, I think I have this class under control, and then you say something funny and everybody laughs, and I've lost control of the class. I said, well, I've always made up my mind to have fun wherever I go, and the hardest thing for me to do is have fun in your civics class. And so I try to have some things like, get out of my class, get out of my class. She sent me to the office. The principal said, what are you doing here? I said, I don't know. You have to ask the teacher. She sent me down. I was having a good time in class till she told me to get out. So that was my introduction to realize that the old standard things were fast changing. When an 80-year-old teacher who had retired twice was trying to introduce to us the new modern way of doing things. We see the first step in this passage in verse 19. The first step, it says, when they knew God, they didn't make him known to the next generation. They didn't talk about God like he was the most important thing in the home. Don't talk about him in the civics class. Don't talk about him in school. Don't talk about him here. Don't talk about him. People are saying, we can't go to reunions because you might get in a fight over politics. We need a good old fight every once in a while about politics, don't we? Got some guy says he's not going to vote for Trump. Well, you're going to vote for the idiot? What's wrong with you? I mean, you only got one choice the way I see it. You either vote for Trump or you vote against Biden. And that's the same vote, right? I mean, how can anybody say they're a Christian and vote for a communist, socialist, guy that's promoting homosexuality, wants to do away with our law enforcement? I don't like everything the police do. I don't like it when they stop me and tell me I'm speeding, but I'm glad they're out there. First time I ever got stopped by a policeman, he said, are you okay? I was shaking like a leaf. I said, would you please not tell my dad that this happened? He said, yeah, just take it easy. Calm down. I went to let out on the clutch, and the clutch was shaking, and he said, do you need to wait a little bit before you take off again? But I was brought up to respect the law. I was taught up if you didn't have a gun, you wasn't a man. And nowadays, I don't think you're a woman if you don't have one. Amen? Women need guns, too. But that first generation, God had commanded a long time before in Deuteronomy 6:6. He said in these words, he's telling the nation of Israel, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. How do you get this word in your heart? Well, you get it in your heart by every morning or evening or sometime during the day, and maybe more often sitting down and having a visit with God in the book. Then every time the church doors swing open, you get in church with people. We listed off some times when we're having extra time together in the Bible this week. You ought to get out to some of them. You ought to get close to the Word of God. Get it in your heart. It's not enough to have it in your head. You know, I can cite all this, and I can remember all. I can't remember all that. But I know one thing. I know how to find it. I go to the concordance, and it tells me how to get there. He said, and thou shalt teach them diligently. How do you teach diligently unto thy children? Well, he said, you talk about it when you sit down. You talk about it when you get up. You talk about when you're taking a trip. You talk about it when you go to bed. And he says, and you talk about it when you get up in the morning. And you'll make them like a sign. You guys never worked horses, right? You always had a set of blinders on a horse so he wouldn't see what was behind him. He could just see ahead. And then when you was plowing the corn and it got about that high, you had to put a muzzle on him so he couldn't take a bite of the corn. You didn't know any of that, did you? You sit on that tractor, it don't do anything. Now they have a computer on it, and they just turn it on and read a book or something else. I think they're driving cars like that. The lady passed me on 81. I was going a little bit fast. I think somewhere between 70 and 80, I'm not sure. I looked over and she had a book laid open on the steering wheel reading the book. I hope the car is under control. But we teach diligently to our children. He said, because you know what's going to happen? When you get into the land and you find all that good stuff, you find you can get a camper and go down to the creek. You can get a horse and go riding. And Sunday afternoon, you can go fishing. I just found out that the rotten people put Sunday up as a hunting day now. Is that true? That we got that far now. God, we don't need you, God. We don't need you in our lives. We need all this other stuff. We're going to give you that much time out of our life and then leave us alone. That's how America got into this mess, folks. That's how we got here. They teach us how not to get the coronavirus, right? Wear a mask. Wash your face and hands. You know, I mean, it's okay to take a shower, too, if you want to. That'll be all right, too. And it's okay if you use some nice smelling stuff on your breath and brush your teeth. That's okay, too, especially if you get close to somebody talking to them. But we got all that smarts about how to stop coronavirus, but we don't know how to stop sin. And a way to stop sin is put the guards up against sin and follow God. So they went in that land. He said, when you get in that land, listen. He said, you have all these things, houses full of good things, which you didn't fill up. America's not the best nation on the face of the earth, fast losing it because we were so smart. We did it because we had a great God. We had a wonderful God. We didn't get here by our hard labor. We got here because of God. You have a house full of good things, which thou fillest not. Wells dig, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt eat and have be full, forth out of the land of Egypt and from the bondage. I got you out of that place. I got you out of that mess. How did people get to America? Leaving the kings and the people, that despots that were trying to make them do what they wanted them to do. They said, we want to be free. We want to live in a free country. We want to be free to worship. We want to be free to talk about God. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We're leaving Europe. We're leaving those places. We're going to that land. And we don't care if there's nothing there but us and God. That's enough. When you got God and you got freedom, you got it. And God will see we have freedom. We got to learn it's God. Each sin becomes worse. Look at verse 20 and 21. Now the works of the flesh, he tells us in Galatians 5:19, are manifest, which are these. Adultery used to be a sin. Not a sin anymore. Fornication, that's all kinds of deviant sexual stuff. Oh, they're just different. He wears a pink earring because he likes pink earrings. I think there's something else going on in his head, too. Amen? I think a man ought to look like a man. I think he ought to act like a man. I think his wife ought to feel safe with him because he's a man. Not wonder if he's going to be some coward and say, well, I don't believe in guns. They might hurt people. Sure, they were made to hurt people, made to kill people if they were trying to kill us. Right? God, guns, and guts made America, and we still need all three. And I think we've lost all three. We got sissies running the country. We got that crazy woman down in Harrisburg as a half man, half woman. I don't know what she is. You ever see her? I mean, people say you shouldn't talk bad about her. How can you not look at her and say, that don't look right? Really, huh? I mean, honest to goodness. Tell me every man in this room is going to look at her and say, wow, what a woman. I mean, what a man. I mean, I don't know what she is. Right? Honest to goodness. But that's how we got there. Little of this, little of that. After a while, nothing's left. Nothing's sacred. The big lie, verse 22 and 23. which I started off by telling you about my teacher back way back when. The big lie is you can educate people out of sin. The only thing that will wash away your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will take care of it. Listen to what Solomon said. Solomon, God gave him more wealth, more wisdom, smartest man on the face of the earth, and did all the dumbest things. You can have a head full of knowledge, but if you don't have a heart full of Jesus, you're dangerous. You're dangerous. Actually, knowing a lot without knowing God is really bad. You're better off to be dumb. He said in Ecclesiastes 1:2, this is Solomon speaking, when he finally woke up one day, had a 1,000 wives, I guess 750 wives and concubines and all that. Talk about a mess. That was a mess, wasn't it? Bill never won a house, never won an altar. He said, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, Solomon. Vanity of vanities, all of vanity. That's about self. He said, everything I did was for me. I woke up one day and realized I was doing it all to please me. You can run to the beaches, you can run to the shores. And I'm not against beaches and shores. I don't think they're any substitute for God. But one guy said, oh, I love to get out on the hillside. I can just be alone with God. God said, get with my people. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Forsake not. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't make me come down there with coronary virus and then shut you out of your church altogether. Hello? We've arrived. In verse 14 of Ecclesiastes, of chapter 1, he says, have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. He's talking about, I had women, I had music, I had pools, I had ponds, I planted trees, I did all kinds of stuff, but it all wound up worth nothing. He said in verse 17 of Ecclesiastes 2, therefore I hated life. That's what's wrong with that crowd. Throwing burning sticks at sacred buildings and government buildings and destroying people's property that they never helped earn. They need to be locked up. They need to be put away. They need to be electrocuted if they killed somebody. Or gas. I don't care how you kill them. You can't kill a criminal. We discussed that. We spent hours in our state legislature deciding, should we electrocute or should we use gas? When I went in the Army, they said if you committed a crime, you got before the firing squad. Had 9 rifles light up to make sure if some of them missed, they surely all wouldn't miss. You say, how horrible. I'll tell you one thing. We had an army then. We had a country then. We got one now. People can run over everything we got, destroy everything we got, keep everything we got, and we're not supposed to say anything. We're not, don't use those words. Don't use those words. He hated life. He said, I had it all. Had all those women. Had all this stuff. But I found out it amounted to nothing. He ended up hating his life. He says in verse 19 of chapter 2, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? You know what he wound out was, God gave him wisdom. But he took the wisdom and used it wrong and became a fool. He became a fool. That's what's wrong with America. We become fools. We can wear our pants down to crack our rear end. We can go around with our shoes untied, our coat hanging half on us, looking like an idiot. And that's somebody that's intelligent. And they're going to Penn State on a scholarship because they're so brilliant. They're idiots. They're fools. Now, where's the big football game? Now where's the big basketball game? Now where's the good stuff? We're wound up with a bunch of fools. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but when we put it all ahead of God, you see where we've gotten to. Verse 23 of chapter 2. For all his days, talk about the fool, are sorrows, and his travail grief. His heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Point number 4. Eventually, listen to this carefully, eventually God gives up on a person or a country that keeps going deeper into sin. Israel went into captivity. Solomon died a fool. Paul said this is what they ought to do to him in 1 Timothy 1:19. He said, I had a couple of idiots with me. I'm paraphrasing. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is, and he names the two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may not learn to blaspheme God. Paul said, I said, God, just take those two guys, get them out of here. Let them run after. One day, if you quit following God and keep following Satan, God will just say, okay, go on. Go on. You want that crowd? Go. You want that mess? Have at it. I'm tired of begging. I'm tired of pleading with you. Now where are you? What's the conclusion of all this? So good people, they start out to see no wrong and a little sin. And they wind up in all kinds of evil, sexual sin, turning our whole country into hell. And we're a hell on earth. We're afraid to go out and clean up a bunch of people that are destroying the buildings that you paid for and I paid for. Federal buildings. Places where they try people for doing those kind of things. And we're afraid to do anything about it. The newspapers are afraid to print how evil it is. That's where we've gotten. God said for this kind of thing, look at Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. God said to these people, I've had it with them. I've called them. I've begged them. I've punished them. But they won't listen to anything. So just go on and go into hell. And he said, don't worry about it. It's full, but I can make it bigger. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiced shall descend into it. God said that's where the crowd going. You ever read in the Old Testament when they got to making fun of Moses? Moses didn't get to be a leader by all his goodness either. God had to whip him a lot, but he finally got on the right track, and he was trying to get that bunch of Jews to move. And they started murmuring about it. I don't like the way Moses is doing things. I don't like the way he's too bossy. He thinks he knows everything. He don't get any second opinions. God said, I've heard the murmuring. And he opened up the ground and let them fall in thousands. Don't be talking about Moses. You know, it's about time we get on the right horse and ride in the right saddle. We're going to be in a mess more than what we are. We're pretty safe out here in Fulton County. Matter of fact, I guess it's okay to say this, right? I've seen a lot of political signs up, but I never saw one Biden. The only ones I saw has been Trump. That's pretty good to me, but I don't know if we're big enough to carry it. The whole United States, are we? We need some more people. Yeah. I send my name in. I'm not afraid. I tell them who I stand for. I'm not afraid. How can you separate that educated teacher of mine, how can you separate your God and your political leaders from what you are? How can you do that? How can you say you're a Christian and you're going to go vote for Biden, who's for homosexuality, everything else that they've got? And God already said how bad that stuff was, didn't he? God said, after they did that so much, you read it there in the reading, right? He said all the things they are. But God says, I turn them over to reprobate mind. I just said, I've had enough of you guys. That's what God said there in Romans chapter 1, the last part of it. Where does it say anything about that in the Bible? Right there. Men with men doing that which is unseemingly mean common sense for teaching. A bird won't do it. No animal. The hogs won't even do it. God's taught us. He said the first thing they did, they didn't honor God. He said common sense, when you look at the creation, he said, you know there's a God. No, there's no God. When you're done here, you're done. No, when you're done here, it begins. You either begin a life in heaven with God because you're saved by the blood, or you begin a life in hell because you're lost. Which is it? Which one do you have? Paul was writing to those people because they were starting that trend. The Bible knows what your problem is and it addresses it. That's why people don't want to get in it. Oh, I like the New Standard. I like the modern version. You know why? Because it tones it down. I remember when we were in the army in the chapel and we'd sing, the sergeant would march us in there and we'd sing, for such a worm as I. And one day some smart government man come along and said, you don't want to say that. Such a worm as I, for such a sinner as I. Does sound a little nicer, doesn't it? Does, you know where the worms are? In hell. The Bible says, when they die and go to hell, where the worm dieth not. When the skin worms start eating on a body that is lost, and that body is raised in corruption and sent to hell in corruption for eternity, the worm is eating on it. That's what the Bible says. While we're in heaven with a new body and a new earth. Which one you got? You sure you're saved? You know where you're going? Let's stand, please. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and his wonderful love. I pray no one leave this building today without knowing Christ as their personal Savior. Guide us and direct us. While the piano plays for a minute, if you're here, standing here, and you're sure you're saved on your road to heaven, and whether you agree with everything I said and the way I described it, you believe that you're saved from that awful hell, would you raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian. Praise God. You may put your hand down. Thank you. And if you're not sure, you've got the slightest doubt, would you put your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Look right at me, and we're going to pray a prayer. Just the people that raise their hand, the rest of you keep your head bowed. Dear God, in the best way I know how, I confess I'm a sinner. But right now, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, save me. Amen. Did you mean that? Amen. 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 Somebody just prayed a prayer of faith, ask Jesus in their heart. Let's sing a song. Before we go home, tell God how much we love him, how glad we are we still have a portion of America that's good. What are we singing? 459. 69. 69. I didn't do very good in math either. I get close. We're 69. Okay. Who at my door is standing? Is he knocking at your door?
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my call,
glad you was in church this morning. Good. Come back tonight. We'll do some more of this stuff. Preacher might get wound up a little bit. Quit poking around so much. Amen. Don't forget the trustee meeting in the back. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Wood, would you have a prayer this morning?